And it's a real joy to be here and to share with you in the conference. It's a thrill to see what God has done already and to see for this first South Island conference to see almost 300 people here. First time I came to Otago or to Dunedin was just over 20 years ago. And I was with the Dr. J. Edwin Orr and Curry Ten Boom and a team that were working here and was involved in training some counselors. And, of course, one of the things I did do while I was here was that I prayed and asked God that he might one of these days do something in Otago at Dunedin and give us a ministry at the university here. And with people. And, you know, that's... oftentimes you pray and nothing happens right away. But it's amazing. If you give God time, he gets around to it eventually. And not because he's not able to get around to it early, but because he also has a plan. And... He works out his own plan in his own time through his own people. And so it's encouraging to see what God has been doing here in Otago at the university here through Roger and Wanaka and their ministry and now with Linton. And too, we're thrilled at what God is just doing here in New Zealand too, in the South Island. I've been encouraged as watching Warren and Hilby over the years and the ministry here in the South Island and to see how God has used them and blessed them. And as they'll be going on furlough for in about a month or so, and we trust, Warren, you'll have a good time and a blessing, and Hilby too, and the family, and come back to us again refreshed and strengthened to carry on the job that God has given you to do. Lots of people sent their greetings to this conference while I was on my travels. I could spend the next 45 minutes telling you all about them. But let me just mention one or two, or maybe 15 or 16 or 20 or 30. I was talking about Leroy's granddaughter last night. Well, I met two other granddaughters while I was in the States too. I met Elvin and Joyce's two little granddaughters. One age four, the other one age two. The one age four kept on insisting and calling me Joseph. Apparently the Bible story that I've been reading just about that day was Joseph and Mary. So I was the Joseph who arrived on the scene. I left Mary at home. And but it was really good to be with Laura, Elvin and Joyce's daughter and her husband George and the two girls. And of course I saw Linda. Linda, their other daughter, met me at the airport in Los Angeles when I arrived, and she farewelled me at the airport in Los Angeles when I left. So that was good too. And she sent her love to Linda especially. She was down here about a year or so ago and sends her greetings to lots of people. Also Marvin and Georgette Smith, some of you will know. They're on furlough in Colorado Springs at the moment, and I had some time with them and their three children. They've got a kind of a 3M type of ministry. It's Michelle, Michael, and Melody, their three children. And they send them lots of greetings. They go back to Ghana, all being well, in March of this coming year. And then some of you met George and Florian Sanchez when they were here, and George sends his greetings too. And Waldron Scott, who some of you know, he also sends greetings. Another person that some of you know is a fellow named Bill Pawley from Invercargill, late of Hamilton, and he's slugging it away at Glen Eyrie doing some carpentry, and he also sends his greetings and wishes he was here with you at this conference and sends his greetings to his friends. Bern and Cheryl Thompson. Bern Thompson, remember, from Christchurch, the assistant editor of the Log, Navigator Log. And Cheryl, his American wife, I had a meal with them, and they send the warmest greetings. Since getting back, I've had a word from Cheryl that she and Bern are expecting their first child sometime in the middle of next year. And they're looking forward to coming here too later in the year. Then, of course, Lorne Sanney, the president of the NAVS, and Lucy, who were here 2 years ago in New Zealand, as some of you met, they also send their greetings. And some of you may remember Jean and Irma War from Oklahoma City. They send their greetings too. Jean will possibly be making a trip out here within the next 2 years because a friend of his is coming down to Auckland, and a fellow named Jim Kennedy, and Jean's looking forward to coming down to see him. And of course, a year ago we had Doug Sparks here, and he also sends his greetings. He got married on December the 16th to a young lady by the name of Priscilla Fleming. And so, although he was at the conference, half the time he wasn't with us. And Jim Downing, who some of you know, has been down here. He also sends greetings, and his wife, Marina. Roy Robertson, who was here not too long ago. I was with Roy in Dallas. He sends greetings. And then there was Pam and Hamish Horton. Hamish was recruited down here at Otago. He lived in Selwyn College, came to Christ in 1965. And Pam is our daughter, and they've just had a year in Adelaide. They've got one more year over there, and they send their warmest greetings to everybody. So that's not too bad, is it? But there are many others, too, who are praying for this conference and praying for those who they know. And it's really a great just to be with them all and renew fellowship with them. During the time I was in Colorado Springs, we had a what they call a Christmas progressive dinner. And all the couples around the NAVS, those who work at Glen Eyrie, and all the various staff all got together one Saturday night, and we went round, you know, and had appetizer in this place and something else somewhere else, and finished up in Jack Mayhall's home, I think it was, having our desserts. And but I didn't get my desserts, but I did quite well. And it was really a time of blessing. Funny thing happened. At the end of the progressive dinner, they usually have a, what they call a, everybody has to take a white elephant present, something you don't want or don't need, and wrap it up in Christmas paper, and then you all go. Everybody takes one, and then you start off by, you know, you're getting one. You take your pick. And while we were sitting, Jack Mayhall has a lovely painting of the castle. You remember this thing that Don Enright did? And so while the thing was on, Chuck Hunt was there. And Chuck took this beautiful painting off the wall and wrapped it in newspaper and put it amongst the white elephant presents. You should have seen the look on Carol Mayhall's face when it was open. And she saw her beautiful painting there. But that was a real good time of fun as well and fellowship there. I'd just like to congratulate two of the gang that did this job of putting this conference together. And there's too many people to name there. If I went through that, then we'd be here for the next 45 minutes. But Warren and your team, you did a good job, excellent. And it's tremendous just to be here. And, looks good for the future, isn't it? 300... at this time, well, maybe, you know, 450 next year and 600 the next year, and before we know where we are, we have this place packed out again to capacity. But this can, these kind of conferences can be a time of renewal and revival and resetting goals and direction for our own lives. And that's the purpose of the conference. That's the theme here. Be strong. Take action. And the Bible, according to 2 Timothy 3 in the Phillips translation, the scriptures are profitable for resetting the direction of a man's life, for training him in Christian living. And of course, we couldn't have anybody better here than to help us to do that than Leroy and Virginia. In 1967, not very much had really happened up to that stage in the Navigator ministry in New Zealand, Leroy and Virginia arrived on the scene. That was Leroy's first visit down to these parts. And we had a conference at Ardmore. It'd be interesting to know how many people here today were at that Ardmore conference. You better stand up because you're famous, really. Okay, well, let's look at that. See, they're the Old Faithfuls. They were at the Ardmore Conference when Leroy and Virginia were here. But I would say that was a, as I think of milestones in the history of the navigator work in New Zealand and Australia, 1967 was a milestone. I think, Pope John called, or someone wrote a book about three cardinals and a pope, they called them trap gates. You know, they're kind of, when fish go up the river, there's trap gates and they can't go back again. Well, I think 1967 was one of those trap gate years for the navigators in New Zealand. Leroy came in and preached on lordship, and boy, things really happened. People made commitments. People were really kind of, you know, we got the hooks into them. Made lifetime commitments to discipleship. That was tremendous. And the same thing in Australia. John Ridgway and Graham French were on their way over in India. John is there, Graham's on his way. They were, remember that meeting in Australia, Leroy? That was a night of all nights to remember. But while all that was going on, Leroy and Virginia were going through a real tough experience in their own lives. And I wasn't aware of it at the time. But God used them in a very mighty way in our midst. And every time that Leroy's come down here in Virginia, God has blessed them and God has used them. And this won't be any different, I'm sure, this time. And they've invested their lives to help us in this ministry here. They're investing 6 months of their lives to help the ministry throughout the Pacific areas. And before they get through, they'll be in Australia, they'll be in Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, Korea, Japan, and they'll be weary. But I know this, that the Lord will bless them and God will use them. And I'd like to back up what Leroy said last night about praying for them. You might want to get Leroy's itinerary if you don't have it. Maybe someone could write it up on the board, just where they're going to be in the next 6 months, the dates. Perhaps that could be done sometime and put the dates on, and you can take a copy of it and you can pray for them as they travel in these next 6 months. Well, the theme this morning, you've done a Bible study in Matthew 6, 28 to 34, and the theme is Make Christ Lord. So what action are we being called upon to take at the conference? Well, to make Christ Lord. Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that doesn't mean a kind of an abstract confession. It's basically if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is my Lord and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a condition of salvation. Jesus is Lord. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 3 says that no man can say, or no man can keep on saying, that Jesus is the Lord, or Jesus is my Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. So it takes someone in whose life the Spirit of God has done something to be able to make a statement and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And Romans 8, 16 and 17 tells us that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit, assuring me that I'm a child of God. And of course, the language of the child of God is the language of Thomas the Apostle in John chapter 20 and verse 28, where he looked upon the risen Lord and he said, my Lord and my God. And so it's not an unusual thing. This isn't a a little navigator hobby horse, Jesus is Lord. This is the teaching of the Bible. And I know people get the idea, well, it's a kind of a navigator emphasis. No, it's a biblical emphasis that we as navigators feel we ought to join in on, and that we should bang this drum as well as other drums, the Lordship of Christ. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves right at the very beginning, as we're talking, or maybe we have asked ourselves this question, but if we've never asked ourselves this question, or we may have asked the question but we've never given an answer, then this is the time to ask the question and to be honest and to give the answer from our own hearts. And the question, of course, is this: can I truthfully say with Thomas that Jesus is my Lord? Can you truthfully say this morning, yes, Jesus is my Lord? And wouldn't it be great if every one of us could go away from this conference truthfully, from the heart, saying and meaning that Jesus is my Lord, and going out to live this in our daily experience? We haven't got time to read these scriptures. I'd just like to give you the references, but if you want some references just to help you out to realize afresh that the Bible does say more about this, Revelation 19, 11 to 16 speaks about Jesus being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Revelation 11, 15 to 17 speak about the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God, of our Lord, and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. I don't know how long ago it was since you listened to the Hallelujah chorus. Some of us may have been to see the Messiah just recently and hear it sung. I watched the Messiah being sung on television in Australia while I was over there. Also, when Malcolm Mugridge was in Christchurch, in October, we went to the town hall and the choir sang it then, the Hallelujah chorus. And isn't it thrilling when you hear that, you know, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign. Well, you know, that's in the future tense. We need to have an experience in the present tense, don't we? Not that he shall reign, but he is reigning. And where is he reigning? He's reigning in my heart. He's my Lord. He's my God. And this is the whole purpose for our getting together at this conference, to get this thing clear in our minds. Who is he? There are three things that a person needs to do in order to live an effective Christian life. He needs to accept Christ as Savior. He needs to acknowledge Christ as Lord, and he needs to appropriate Christ as his life. So Jesus as Savior, the Bible tells in John 1 and 12, and Leroy was talking about this last night, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we talked about that last night. And that's the starting point, accepting Christ as Savior. And when we accept Christ as Savior, he becomes our Redeemer. And when we acknowledge Christ as Lord, he becomes our ruler. And so John 1 and 12, we accept Christ as Savior. Romans 10 and 9, We acknowledge him as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. And Galatians 2:20 tells us how we appropriate Christ as our life. It's no longer I who live now, but it's Christ who lives in me, because I have been crucified with Christ. And the life which I now live, I live in complete and total dependence upon the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when a person accepts Christ as Savior, Christ becomes yours. So Jesus Christ, when I invited Christ to come into my life, he became mine. I didn't receive a part of Jesus Christ, I received all of Jesus Christ. He came in totally. I didn't get an arm or a leg or a head. A complete Christ came to live in me. We hear people talking about, well, I need more of this and I need more of that. You know, I need more of the Holy Spirit. No, that's not true. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of Christ. You've got all that you're ever going to have of Jesus Christ. You'll never get any more of Jesus Christ if you live to be a million. And no one else has any more of Jesus Christ than you've got. You know that? Just like a little baby's born into a home. It's got as much life as all the rest of the family. An hour-old baby in a home has got as much life as anybody else in the family. They got all the life they're ever going to get. And you've got all the life that you're ever going to get. You've received Christ. And he's yours. Totally. And that's what it means to accept Christ as Savior. But when you acknowledge Christ as Lord, it's not a case of now of you getting something, it's a case of you giving something. And right now we're going to give you some fresh air. We'll wipe that off the tape. So when you receive Christ as Savior, he became yours. When you acknowledge Christ to become Lord, you become his. And that's the reason why we call him our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I really don't believe it's possible to have Christ as Savior without having Christ as Lord. Now, I think it's possible to be ignorant of the facts. But I think a person who says, well, Christ is my Savior, but I don't want him to be my Lord, I would question that person's salvation. There is no assurance of salvation for that kind of a person. The Bible doesn't teach it. It's a package deal. You know the story, you may have heard the story of the two little girls who came home from school one day, two sisters. They rushed into the house. The mother was there, but the father wasn't there, and they expected to see him. So they said, where's Daddy? And so the mother said, oh, Daddy's lying down. He's resting on the bed. Well, they didn't mind that. So they rushed into the bedroom, and the older sister rushed in first and got hold of her daddy and put her arms around him. And in a kind of a spiteful little voice said to her little sister, I've got all that there is of Daddy. And then the father saw the little girl, the younger one, was kind of looked as though she was going to break down and cry. So he managed to get an arm loose And the little girl ran around the other side of the bed, and the father put his arm around her. And then the little sister said to her big sister, "You've got all that there is of Daddy, but Daddy's got all that there is of me." And when you became a Christian, when you invited Jesus to come into your heart, you received all that there was of Jesus. But can you say, can I say, but Jesus has all that there is of me? And that's what lordship is all about. That's what making Christ Lord is all about. And of course we make Christ Lord by a decision. You don't drift into it any more than you drift into getting married. Or you shouldn't drift into getting married. It's just as much a decision on my part to invite Christ to come into my life, or to invite Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, as it is a decision on my part to invite Christ to be my Savior. You don't drift into salvation. You don't drift into lordship. You make a decision. Romans 12 and 1, the Apostle Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do something. That you make a decisive act of dedication. That you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is the only thing you can do in the light of the mercies of God." And of course then the Christian life, the life of lordship, is maintained by appropriating Christ as your life. That's a day by day, moment by moment, continuing thing. Realizing that Christ is my Savior, Christ is my Lord, and I make all my decisions on that basis. I'm always struck when I read Genesis 24. You know, when the servant of Abraham went to look for a wife for Isaac, and he went to the home, and he met Rebekah. And then she was put on the spot by her family because the Abraham's servant wanted this girl to go with him miles and miles away, leave her home, her family, the whole, everything she had. But then the family asked her the question, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And there she was, just a young lady. But I admire her. She said, "I will go." And that changed her life. She became the mother of millions. Just by making that decision, "I will go." If she had said, "Oh, nothing doing," her name wouldn't have even appeared in the book. But she became someone, the mother of millions, just by making a simple decision. "Wilt thou go with this man?" "I will go." "Will you make Jesus Christ Lord?" "I will go." "Will do." Well, the study this morning was Matthew 6:33, key verse in my own life. Possibly one of the very early verses I learned, and I should say a verse that had a major impact upon my own life. After I learned that verse, I was never the same again. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What stops a person from making Christ Lord? What held me back from really coming out and making Christ Lord? You know what it was? All these things. And I added a list of them, a long, long list of them. A whole long list of reasons why I couldn't make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. And basically, they were centered around the things that the chapter said this morning that you study. Preoccupation with living. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Me, me, me. Like the fellow said about his mother-in-law, she had eye trouble. You know, I this and I that and I the other thing, see. And that's the thing that stops you from making Christ Lord. Me. Me first. But Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things, the things that the Gentiles seek. And who are the Gentiles? Well, they live in our homes. There are mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, us. But Jesus said, don't do that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's an interesting thing, too. You know, in the family, who worries about paying the rent? Is it the children? Or mum and dad? Usually it's mum and dad. The children are not preoccupied with, do we have enough money to buy food? And as Christians, as children of God, we shouldn't be preoccupied with who's going to pay the rent. We're going to have enough money to do this, and can we do that? Because your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of them before you even start thinking about them. God's already working on that plan. So what should I be preoccupied with? Well, God said, be preoccupied with the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And anybody that gives his life to that, all these things that everybody else is seeking will be added unto you. Malcolm Muggeridge, when he was here, reminded us of the fact that Western civilization is doomed. It's on its way out. And that would be very discouraging if he was talking about the kingdom of God on its way out. But the kingdom of God isn't on its way out, it's on its way in. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God about 100 or more times. And it's interesting too, I was just noticing in the book of Acts, when last night Leroy was talking, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us that Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And if we look in the last chapter of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 28, we find the Apostle Paul's in prison. And what was he doing? He was preaching the kingdom of God. And we need to be concerned ourselves, don't we, with the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the reason, of course, for that is because the kingdom of God is the only thing that's worthwhile thinking about. Now, the kingdom of God is a totalitarian regime. The kingdom of God is God's alternative to Marxism and fascism and any totalitarian regime. But man's totalitarian regimes, they enslave people. But God's kingdom, his totalitarian regime, makes people free. And Jesus said this in John 8:36, if the Son, and he's the king of the kingdom of God, if the Son shall make you free, you'll really be free. You'll be free indeed. And John 8:32, you'll get to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Make you free to do what? It'll make you free to please God and to serve God. And that's real freedom, isn't it? See, membership of the kingdom of God makes life meaningful. You don't know what life's all about until you get this thing straight. Begin to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what makes life meaningful. Gives us something to live for, someone to live for, instead of living for ourselves. The kingdom of God is unshakable. And that's an important thing in a world that's very shaky, isn't it? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, "Let us therefore be grateful that the kingdom we have received cannot be shaken. So let us serve God acceptably." See, the kingdom of God. The reason why we need to seek first the kingdom of God is because it's a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Living in a world which is, boy, it's shaking faster. Things are happening. You take the political swings back and forth. You take the economic crises that the world is going through. And it's not even quarter of the way through it, I'm sure, yet. It may not even begun it yet. But the kingdom of God is unshakable. And why is it unshakable? Because the King is unshakable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. He's called the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God in 1 Timothy. So all man-made kingdoms are shaky. And we need to recognize the fact that when Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," he wasn't just saying something that sounded nice. He really meant it. Because that's the only thing you can pin your life to. And anybody who decides... See, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." The kingdom of God deals with addition. You don't lose anything, you get things. You get all the things that your heart cries out for. You get all the things that your life needs. All the things that your family need. Everything that pertains to life and to godliness. But any other kingdom, there's no addition, it's subtraction. Takes away from you. You know, Jesus spoke about the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. But the thief comes. He comes to kill and to destroy and to take away. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And you know, one of the reasons why I didn't become a Christian was because I thought that by becoming a Christian, I'd lose out. I had my plans for my life. But it'll be 40 years on the 20th of February in next year since I became a Christian. So having had 40 years to look back on the decision that I made when I was 21, and being able to look at all those wonderful plans I had for my life at the age of 21, which I thought, boy, if I become a Christian, I'm going to lose all these things. Well, I'm glad I lost them. I'm glad I lost them. Praise God, I lost them. What a fool I would have been to have hung on to them. And just by making a simple decision to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I lost all my plans. But it wasn't really subtraction, because the addition was far greater. And God continues to add more and more. So we need to recognize the kingdom of capitalism is shaky, very, very shaky. It depends upon the fluctuations of the stock market. Revaluation, devaluation, inflation, the whole thing. Capitalism is in a very shaky state right now. The kingdom of communism is very shaky. It depends upon purges, cultural revolutions. The only way you can keep it down is to suppress the press. Have everything, you know, get the radio, get everything. Don't let people speak for themselves. And yet, in the morning paper today, you know, Comrade Huang, the new man that took over from Mao, he just said he just saved China from civil war and foreign aggression, getting rid of those four horrible people he just got rid of, the from power, including Mao's wife. After 29, 30 years of communism, you'd have thought they'd have made a better job of it than that. But here they are. They're still shaky. They've been shaky all the time. They'll be shaky until the Lord comes. The kingdom of self is very shaky. Build your life on yourself. Make yourself the center of your kingdom. You're building on sand. Matthew 7 speaks about the wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the floods came. And the winds blew. Just recently, that storm in Wellington really proved the value of building your house on a rock. You know, you go right through your whole life and live in Stokes Valley for 50 years and it never happens, but then it happens. And you can get by for the next 50, 60 years, 70 years. But I'll tell you what, you're building on sand if you build on the kingdom of self. One of these days, the whole thing is going to go right from underneath you. And you're going to finish up with a shovel trying to dig your life out of the rubble and try to put it back together again, but you won't do it. Those people who are trying to get their houses sorted out right now up in Lower Hutt, the house will never be the same, no matter what they do to it. And we need to recognize the fact we need to build our lives on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of health is a temporary thing too, isn't it? Today, the reason why people won't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is because they want freedom. What kind of freedom? Freedom to please myself. Freedom to do my own thing. Freedom to tie myself in knots. That's what basically it is, isn't it? Freedom to foul your life up. That's what people want. Just freedom to foul themselves up. To wreck their lives, to wreck their homes, to wreck their marriages, to wreck their children, to wreck society. That's not freedom. That kind of freedom makes me a problem to many other people. And so as I exercise my freedom, other people can't exercise their freedom. The kingdom of God has laws. There are laws of the kingdom of God, and the Bible is full of them. I would say the most important thing in life for anybody is to find someone to whom you can give your final and absolute allegiance. I only know one person that I can do that to, and do it wholeheartedly, without any fear, without any doubts, without any worries, without losing any sleep. I only know one person I can give my total allegiance to, and that's Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to encourage you just to do that. If you haven't memorized Matthew 6 and 33, well, why don't you memorize it? Know it off by heart. Know where it's found. Know it in its context. Ask yourself, now who said this? Well, Jesus said it. Is it important? It must be. Why? Well, because Jesus said it. And ask yourself, well, what am I really seeking right now? If I'm honest, if I were to write down on a piece of paper right now, what am I really seeking first? Would it be the kingdom of God or something else? Let's pray, shall we? I'm sure that some of you here have never, ever invited Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. And I'd like to suggest right now that you do that and say, well, Lord Jesus, I have accepted you as my Savior. Or maybe you haven't. Maybe you should start back at the. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior? Can you say, Jesus is my Redeemer? He's my Savior. Then the prayer that you should pray right now is, Lord Jesus, I'd like you to be my Savior. I'd like you to come in. But there may be others who have never, ever deliberately, as an act of the will, said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, my ruler. And Lord Jesus, I want to acknowledge you as Lord. And there may be others of us here who say, well, I have done that, but I haven't been operating on the basis of his lordship on a day-by-day basis. Well, the reason for that, of course, is you haven't been appropriating Christ as your life. And that takes a moment-by-moment affair. So maybe we need to renew our allegiance to the Lord Jesus. And then the rest of us can say, well, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you are my Lord. There's a tremendous amount of security in having someone who loves you, someone who has your best interests at heart, someone who you can trust, someone who plans for you and has a plan for your life. So let's thank him, those of us who acknowledge his lordship and are appropriating his life. Let's thank him that he is Lord. Our Father, we do want to thank you for what a blessing that passage of Scripture is from Matthew 6. Thank you, Lord, it sets our mind at ease. There are many things that we need to stop doing, and there's one thing that we really need to start doing, and that's to seek first your kingdom. Lord, give us the grace, give us the power, give us the ability, give us the perseverance, give us the desire to continually seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.